And hello, everybody. This is Armand DeMel with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more parenting life. Haven't we become the parents? Haven't we become the parents of this world? You know, you ever notice when your children get frightened, you have to be able to do something? It's funny how around election time, there's always some reason to get frightened, one or another. More stuff in the news today about how to be frightened and, of course, why you should be frightened. And well, you know, one of the things that help us not be so frightened in life is family. And we've been talking about fathers, and we've been talking about some of the funny thing about fathers, you know, some of the psychology of fathers, which we haven't looked into very much. With the help of Dr. Scott Baum, Dr. Kent Robert Shaw, and I explored this whole, the psychology of fathers. And as I was going through it, I ran into something else, another part of parenting. Another part, where it's essential, you know, it's essential, my friends. Whether you ever have a child or not, you must become a parent in this earth. You must. That's your job. You have to be a parent, meaning that you have to be some kind of a guiding adult, helping the children who walk around kind of blind-eyed, you know, getting scared and doing scared things. Somebody has to have a sobering mentality. And in the family, who is that person who usually has that sobering sense? Who usually is the real solid force? Is it your mommy? Is it your daddy? Well, you know, you're a kid and you hang around with your mommy and daddy and you see them scared often enough and you watch them fighting sometimes and you watch them at odds and not so much rested. So they're not really the source of being solid. But there are people, if you're lucky, grandparents. Yes, grandparents. Grandparenting is one of the greatest joys of life. And grandchildrening, being a grandchild is one of the great joys of life if you've got loving grandparents. Now, believe me, I know what it's like not to have loving grandparents. I know what it's like to have grandparents that are not loving, and that's a really rough stuff. Some people have grandparents they hate, and some people have grandparents they love. Sometimes you love one of your grandparents, and you hate their husbands or wives. Sometimes you love your mother's grandparents, but you hate your father's grandparents. I'm sorry, not grandparents, parents. So things are changing, and things are really changing. There's a new thing called grand boomers. Grand boomers, get that word, grandboomers. These are people who are born between 1946 and 1964, are now grandparents. Many of them, 46 to 64, have become grandparents, right? I mean, even if you're born at 61, you know, you could have a child who's 20 years old at age 81, and then she has a kid, and you're a grandparent. That's it. That's all there is to it. But the grand boomers of today are young, active, and eager to be involved in the lives of their grandchildren. Because remember, I mean, life used to be 60, 65 years. Grandpa were the people you would meet on their way for their walk out to the ice, you know, where they were going to kind of end it. But no, not anymore. Grandparents are the ones wearing those funny shorts who are carrying the tennis racket, you know, who are retired but on their way to the tennis play. I mean, they got plenty of time because maybe they're retired and they quit their jobs and something. And they have time, they are willing to be involved, and they are healthier. So grandparents have become a real strong force. I mean, just look at ARP, AARP, which is the Organization for People Over 50 Years Old, is such a powerful organization that they can determine a vote to go one way or another, you know. So the politicians are always kind of trying to appeal to ARP. Grandparenting in the 21st century is also complicated. It's complicated by long distances, because now, even though you can have communication with your grandparents, they could be in some other part of the planet. You know what I mean? They could be in France, and you could talk to them every day. But long distances is one way. More people travel more often, and more grandparents are at long distances, because if you were from, let's say you're from Oregon, and you decided to come to New York, and you have your children in New York, the grandparents are still in Oregon. So they're not that available. Long distances, there are new child-rearing practices. There are the way that people are learning to raise their children. They try one thing or another that may or may not include the grandparents. There are family breakups, divorces. 50% of the people are divorcing. So therefore, almost every child nowadays has at least 6 grandparents. 3 sets. Right? You have your mothers, your fathers, and then you have your step-parents. Right? Those are still grandparents. And remarriages. So now you can have your steps, and then you can have even more, and you can have a lot of grandparents. You have your real grandparents and your not real grandparents. What was your relationship with your grandparents? I'm not going to talk to you about your relationship as a grandparent, because every one of you are going to tell me about the bliss of it. You're probably going to show me photographs. Right? So I'm not talking about that, but grandmas and grandpas. You know, one of the beauty of being a grandparent, here's the real, real beauty of being a grandparent. You get a chance to choose your name. You get a chance to choose how you would like to be called. Some people want to be called Gramps, some want to be called Grandma, some want to be called Grandpa. Poppy is a nice way that you could be called. Nana, Nunu. What do you want to be called, you know? Because if you get that name that you like, you choose it, you know, as a grandparent. You kind of pass it on, and you get called that. And it's fascinating to be called by your new name. Very little attention goes to grandparents. But in today's world, grandparents are living much longer, really, really much longer. And therefore, you know, what happens is a child becomes involved in the illness of the grandparents. Because now they're at a certain age, but then at the age when they start to break down, when they start to fall into illnesses, and there might even be mental illnesses. I mean, if a grandparent at age 80... get you might have dementia. Now, bad enough that you have to suffer through, a mate has to suffer through their husband or wife having senile dementia or having Alzheimer's, a horrendous disease. Not for the person who has the Alzheimer's, but for the person who's with them. And then suddenly the children have to be guarded from the grandparent because the grandparent does weird things. And I'm not saying weird sexual things, but then there is that other part. There is that other part about grandparents who are abusive grandparents. Another relationship. Then if you get a family, you get a husband and a wife who are at odds with each other, then the grandparents get involved. But remember, grandparents are in-laws. And you know all the people who talk about hating their in-laws because the in-laws come in and they get involved in the family? Like you have your in-laws, you know, you're married to somebody or living with somebody, and their husband or wife starts getting involved in your life, you know, or their parents start getting involved in your life, and they start telling you how to do things. Those are the in-laws. They're kind of dreaded because they sometimes make this influence. Now, in-laws who are perceived as in-laws, which are meaning your parents, you know, and they're on your side, so it's you and your parents against me, is the way many mates feel. The in-laws become terrible grandparents because when they get in the relationship, they become decisive and derisive very often. And divisive. They divide. And derisive is derisive means ridicule or scorn. And they can sometimes talk badly about the parent who is not their child to the child. They will even tell secrets. You know, don't tell your father I told you, but I learned that when he was a little boy, he used to pee in his pants. you know, little things meant to separate the child from their fathers. Then, on the other hand, there are grandfathers who have, as a person gets older, you know, as men get older and women get older, their ears, their tympanic membrane gets thinner, and noise hurts them more. You've heard them, what kind of music is that? Right? Because they're saying that music is so loud, turn down the music. It means that their ears are getting more sensitive. Right? It's a real sign of maturity. So a person's ears gets very sensitive. Now, I don't know if you know what it's like, but if you take a grandchild, and the grandchild comes to visit, and it's a, let's say, a terrible two, you know, a two-year-old child, and if they come with their brothers, sisters, or with their friends, and they're at the grandparents' house, they make noise. Children scream. Children need to scream, especially around a pool. You know, they get around water, they need to scream. The idea of the screaming of a child is the child is telling its parent what it sounds like so that if there were ever real trouble, the child can be identified by its parent, just like baby seals. You know, baby seals can be identified by a parent within a crowd of hundreds of thousands of seals. They'll know exactly where their kid is by the sound of the cry. Well, children scream because they're developing their vocal cords to have a distinctive voice so that if they're in trouble, their parents can find it, so they can't help screaming. So you get them in water especially, which is slightly dangerous stuff, right? Water, children could drown, and they scream like crazy. And those screams are meant to be high-pitched screams that go through the tympanic membrane of the grandparents because they want the grandparents to be there to save them. They want their parents to be there to save them. They're going to scream so loud. Marco Polo, and, you know, just the sound of it over and over again can get through to you. Well, some grandparents find any intrusion very difficult because they live in a world where they more and more isolate themselves from noise, from pressures, from sounds. And as you become older, you feel more fragile, so you close the walls all around you. Now along comes a grandchild, and the grandchild is screaming. Well, very often grandparents, grandfathers, this is particularly true of grandfathers, hate the noise. And what they do is they start disciplining the child in the name of proper behavior. And they discipline the parents. And the parents turn around to their children and say to their children, be quiet. You can't make noise in grandpa's house. Don't make so much noise. But they're babies, you see. And grandparents can't handle it. And grandparents then become the ogres. They're the guys who are going to make trouble because you make noise when all you're doing is screaming naturally. Many of you grew up that way. But grandparents could be a wonderful thing. Grandparents could be a wonderful thing in helping a child, helping a woman bring up her babies. Because let's say you're one of five babies or four babies or three babies. And you're one of three children. Your mother got a lot of experience in bringing up babies. The kind of experience a mother needs, like how to bathe a baby. That's no easy trick, bathing a baby, you know, without drowning it. Not so easy. How to walk a baby. How to hold a baby. Well, you have no experience with it. You're a new mother. Your mom could show you how to do it. And if your mom shows you in the right loving kind of way, she teaches you and she lets you do it, and she does not give you the idea that she's a better mother than you'll ever be. Some mothers, however, compete with their children, and they give them the feeling that they will never know what they're doing, and that gets passed on to the kids. So think about your own experience as a grandparent. Think of your experience as a grandchild. Think about Nani and Noni. Or whoever you had, Grampy and Grandpa, or Poppy, whatever you called them. Think about your grandparents, and I want you to call in. I want you to tell me grandparents' stories. Now, you may not think that this is very interesting, but you're going to find fascinating stuff here, because it reveals a lot. For example, if you had a close relationship with your mother and not your father, you may be more closely related to your mother's grandparents. So let's just see how that works out. 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900 is the number here. We're going to be taking your calls, and I'm focusing on grandparenting today, because we did grandfathers, we did grandmothers. You know, it's going to be my book or somebody else's book. Somebody please write a book on the psychology of grandparenting. There's very little written. Why is that? Why is it it's not an area of discovery? There's a couple of books out there, one called Intentional Grandparenting, which tells you how to do it right. But there is a very little information out there. So grandparents, you know, are supposed to know how to be grandparents, but where are they going to learn how to be grandparents? What's the right thing? You know, does anybody say to a grandmother, listen, teach your kid how to bathe her baby, but get out of the way, don't hold the baby, and whatever you do, don't criticize her. Does anybody teach that to a grandmother? No. It's got to be there in the intention. But rules of grandparenting, do not talk to the baby and tell the baby secrets. Rules of grandparenting. Obvious stuff, but it would be great if there were a couple of books on the psychology of grandparenting that would help the grandparents and would help the parents in understanding the grandparents and the grandparents' needs to carry those photographs and to take those pictures. Grandparents nowadays have gone crazy with their cell phones that take photos. They can't resist it. They watch, you know, I mean, they have such a joy, more joy, I think, than the actual parent themselves, in watching their children grow up. I mean, they're watching this grandchild of theirs who has some characteristics of theirs, you know, genetically, and they delight in every split second. They go out with you. They play with you. They love every second of it. It's a great joy, especially if you think of yourself as a grandparent who's getting on in life, you know, and you're 60 years old and everything is kind of looking the same and the same and the same, and the best you do is buy a new house, get a new car, you know, but you and your husband are there just playing another golf game and you're kind of bored. Then this baby comes along and oh my gosh almighty, what an exciting thing that could be to a relatively empty life. 212-209-2900. Love to take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm not sure what I could tell you, but my grandmother was really... I was closer to my mother's side than to my father's side. My grandmother, I remember her. She used to tell me that I wasn't as strong as she was, and she was kind of strict.
But now, which grandmother was this? What's your name, by the way?
My mother's mother.
And your name is?
My name's Catherine.
Catherine, your mother's mother was the mean one, right?
Yeah, I think she was kind of, she was kind of mean.
She was mean, but your father's mother was not.
I never knew my father's mother, but I just know in general, and specifically, I was very close to my father's side. Very, very close to my father's side.
To your father's side of the family?
Yes, yes. But my grandmother, my mother's mother, she did things like when I turned 21, she gave me a fur coat. And, you know, she thought she had concepts of what I should be. And so she acted that out in a very stern way.
And now let me ask you something. How did your grandmother get along with your mother? How did your mother get along with your grandmother?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can answer that.
You think they liked each other? Sounds like your grandmother didn't like your mother.
You know what? I think that you're right. I think that maybe my grandmother really did not like my mother.
In fact, I'm willing to bet that your mother liked her dad better than she liked her mother.
That might be true, too.
And I'm willing to bet that your grandmother was jealous of your mother and her relationship with her father, your grandfather.
Wow.
Isn't that a big deal?
Oh, that is.
That's enormous. You get a mother who sees her daughter getting close to her husband in a way that she can't, and she gets jealous, and she gets angry, and she's faced with herself. And she not only takes out that aggression on her daughter, but she takes it out on her grandchildren as well.
Well, you know, my brother was treated very differently than I was.
Right, because you weren't stealing daddy. You weren't, your mom was stealing daddy, but you're no threat because you're a woman.
Well, yes. I think still there's the stereotype that men are treated, it's not really a stereotype, men or male children are treated differently than female children.
They are, but I could tell you from what I've observed, the small, well, maybe, you know, how many years ago is this?
Oh, it's been a while.
It's been like at least 30 years since.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 30 years ago, that's true. Certainly nowadays, you know, people, when asked what they would choose to have, a girl or a boy, most people choose girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they want to have young girls. You know why? They don't want the trouble of boys. They want, you know, boys are going to be trouble. Boys are going to start being run by their gonads, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that whole thing is going to happen. And boys, so most parents will choose, if they could, to have a girl. I think it's something like 70% or 65% would make a stated preference for girls.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
It's quite a switch, isn't it?
It is. It is.
But when you were a kid, you know.
Yeah, that's true. My brother was treated really very differently than I was. But I was always told that I was the smart one.
How did your grandmother feel about how smart you were?
She thought that I was too smart.
Too smart. Don't be so smart.
Yes.
What language did she speak?
She spoke American.
Did she have a caustic tone to her
Or
voice?
English. yeah, somewhat. Yes,
oh, she was English?
Yes.
Oh, sarcasm is a terrific weapon against a child.
Yeah,
derisive stuff.
I think my grandmother didn't like me too well.
I don't think your grandmother liked herself too well.
That could be true.
And that poor grandma, she grew up not liking herself, not liking her husband, not liking your mother, and not liking you.
Wow.
When did she die?
Maybe about 20 years ago.
Do you remember how you felt at her funeral?
Yeah. No, I mean, I do. I didn't know how to feel. I felt mixed emotions. There was a loyalty factor there, but I don't know if I felt really sad, if I was going to miss her. You know, I mean, I remember my grandmother, but I remember her more now, and I remember more of her behavior now. And actually, I see a lot of my grandmother's behavior in me.
Sure. That's what you grew up with. That was a source of power.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that makes natural sense. But in response to your reaction to your grandmother's death, and many people I know have felt it, it would be very difficult to sing that song. What was that song from The Wizard of Oz? Oh, ho, the witch is dead. The witch.
Oh.
Because there's a thing about seeing her die. And I remember one man who had a funeral. Everybody disliked him. But there was a big turnout at his funeral. And I asked people, why did you go? And they said, I wanted to make sure he was dead.
My grandmother had a really large funeral. People knew her. They knew her from her philanthropic behavior toward others. We didn't get a lot of it.
Yeah.
But she certainly had it for others. And because, you know, she had a business and people just knew her. And so she had a huge funeral.
That could be real confusing to a child, you know? Real confusing. Thank
right.
you for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank
Catherine,
you,
Catherine, I'm glad we're doing the program. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. So as you could see, mixed feelings about grandparents. Because grandparents can sometimes be, and it's for want of a better word, they could be evil. Yes. And I don't mean evil like, you know, they're possessed by the devil. But sometimes they are just so filled with so much junk that they just don't do any good in the world. And I find among those the religious ones that are about the worst. The ones who kind of call down the power of God or the Lord or or Jehovah or whatever you want to say, the ones who call down the power of the saints and they say you, and they talk about you as if you're damned because they have God on their sides. Those saintly ones I've seen really, really do some incredible damage to children. Sometimes it's hard to get their voices out of your head, you know? And then that thing happens like Catherine's talking about. You grow up and you suddenly find yourself acting just like them. And you wonder how that happened. And it happened because when you were young, you internalized this thing, this power source. And it sits inside you. Yuck, it makes you feel terrible. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
I had this this magical grandmother.
Tell me about her.
Well, if I think back about her now, she spent the last 7 years of her life in bed. She was this bedridden woman. And we were young kids, and that didn't get through to us. We just thought, oh, we'll go visit grandmother and, you know, jump on her bed, and she'll give us treats. And I'm just thinking now about what her life was really like. I got to turn on the radio. Hang on 1 second.
He's got to turn off the radio. You told him, right? You'd be a good grandmother.
I'm sorry, I'm back. So I think about this now because a friend of mine recently lost a limb to diabetes, and that's what happened to her. She lost a limb to diabetes. And, you know, with my friend, he has this state-of-the-art prosthetic leg, and he gets around, and everything is fine. But when they amputated her leg, you know, they put him in rehab, and you learn how to use it, and it becomes a part of you. And when her leg was amputated, they gave her this wooden thing that had this harness device, and they said, here, wear this. And she put it on once or twice, and she said, this is ungodly painful, and I can't stand on it. And, you know, so she never wore it. And there was no, you know, they didn't have a concept of rehab back then. So I don't know what her life was like. It seems to me it would have been very, very oppressive. But the memory is that every time you went over there, it was like going to the Enchanted Forest. And
we've got about 1 minute here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I'm glad to have your call. What's your name?
David.
David, if magical grandma, who I'm sure has passed on, could hear you somewhere in this universe right now, as a young man who realizes the beauty of what was there, even though he was taking it for granted, what would you love to say to her? And I'm gonna offer you this opportunity to say it, because I believe these airwaves carry messages even to spirits.
I believe that too.
So go for it.
I would thank her from the bottom.
No, don't say I would. Do it.
Grandma, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You're the only person, or at least the first person, that made me believe I was special. Because you used to say to me, oh, look at there's proof in your initials, because your middle initial is a vowel and the first and the third are consonants. It spells a word that means you will have an enchanted place in the universe. And I believed you. And I thank you for that incredible gift that I couldn't even begin to comprehend at the time you handed it to me.
Oh, David, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure. Hey, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, a little grandma dedication music. Krishbhuti Bhatti with Sting, S-T-I-N-G, doing the singing. La Belle Dame sans regret. Regrets. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. If you just tuned in, not only do we play pretty music here, but we are talking about pretty things and not so pretty things. We're talking about grandparenting. As an extension of our program on shows on fathers, which I strongly recommend if you haven't heard, you could go to the website. And isn't there a Miss Ray, R-A-Y-R-E-Y, Miss Ray from Mount Sinai Hospital, somewhere in here? I owe you a correspondence. Well, dedicate that song to you. Anyway, as I was saying, you could go to the website, thepositivemind.com, and you could press on where it says listen to the radio show, and then you press on that again, and you could hear archives. Thanks to Tom Gerby, our master webmaster, he's been able to make available to everyone all over the world these radio programs through WBAI, these radio programs of The Positive Mind. Very good stuff that we do here. And I don't do it alone. I do it with quite a group of people who help me out as producers, co-producers, assistants, you know. One of the most important of which is Jana, who you've heard, and Paula Jack, and others. Great. 212-209-2900. We are talking about grandparents. We are talking about the good news and the bad news about grandparents, about what it was like to have grandparents. Now, as I said, I've known people who we've had to do exorcisms about grandparents. We've had to take one dealing with, you know, sometimes you talk about child abuse. And we could talk about child abuse, and we could talk about parental child abuse. And we could talk about the effect that your mean daddy had on you. And he might have been physical, it might have been sexual, it might have been emotional, it might have been verbal, you know? It might have been all of that stuff. And so what I wind up having is that's one bit of psychotherapy we do. We try to unearth the past and try to deal with those emotions from the past. Or you might have had a wacky mother. You know, a wacky mother who has kind of abused you verbally or abused you sexually or abused you in some kind of way. We deal with that too. Or you might have had a wacky uncle. You know, sexual abuse from some family member is one of the most popular forms of sexual abuse. It's one of the things that happen the most. It's usually a family member of some sort who abuses the child, maybe not a direct parent. But then we talk about the grandparents. And in some cases, the grandparents and the misery of the grandparents has passed on to the children in such a way that when we do psychotherapy, we, the therapists, tend to overlook the grandparents. But they are a potent force. So I think that therapists would do well to explore the grandparents and the effect of all four grandparents, whether they are alive or dead. You know, Roberta Atti does this work on constellation theory where she goes back and finds the effect of each family member on the person and how that happens. So I think one of the things we tend to neglect is dealing with the grandparents, both sets of your grandparents. Think about both sets of your grandparents, even if one was dead. Even if one had passed on, they become a phantom in your life. You know, Uncle Joe, and they'll talk about Uncle Joe, and they'll mean Grandpa Joe, and they'll talk about him as if he existed. You know, now here's the thing that happens to kids. Kids are going along and everything is fine, and then suddenly your parents, one of your parents' parents die. So let's say your mother's father dies. And there goes mom's mom, and she's living alone in some house. And she says, what am I doing living in this big house all by myself? I'm not safe. I don't have anybody to protect me. So the parents say, sell the house. And come live with us. And very often in a child's life, suddenly a child will see this new person appears who is a grieving grandmother. Now, when your mate dies, and then you suddenly move into a house where there's a couple there, you are loaded with all kinds of stuff you're ready to transfer, and there's this innocent little baby in front of you, and very often the grandparent who's grieving passes on a lot of their anguish to the child who is there. And then, of course, the parents use the grandparent as a convenience. And they say, all right, you're here, so I'm going to go out. So the grandparent's sitting there, and they have a tremendous influence on the child's life. And if they're unhappy and depressed and grieving, that's what the kid grows up with. Examine those stories, my dear therapists out there. Go take a look at the grandparents. You're going to find there's a tremendous amount of information that you could find as you look closer, just as we had explored the need to further examine the relationship of a child with their father over time. Because dads, when they get older, they start to have different, they go through many hormonal changes. And in their hormonal changes, they very often get depressed. Well, grandparents also go through a lot of changes. And very often, they could be perfectly fine until pain hits them. And then when they get hit with pain and racked with pain, they get depressed. And all of that is going to be an influence on your child. So I warn you, kids out there, you know, it sounds like a good idea to have your parents living with you. But think about the effect. What is going to be the loyalties? What's going to be your priority of loyalties? You know, according to the Japanese, and I love this system, they say there's a kind of a pyramid of loyalties, and these are the way your faithfulness goes. That once you become a spouse or dedicated to someone, your first priority is, number one, yourself. You must be okay with yourself. Do not betray yourself. Number two, your mate. Your mate comes above all else but yourself. Number three, your children. Your children come above all else but your mate. You never choose your children over your mate. And you never choose your children over yourself. And number four comes the in-laws, your parents. They're fourth on this pier, on this tier. They're going to be the fourth ones. Your children first, your parents next, and your friends after that. So if you think about it in the list of priorities, when a parent comes into your house, you now, as your parent has to take care of one of their parents, and they're taking care of their child, where's their priority? Well, the priority is the child. So before you accept into your house or you make the suggestion, we're going to pull grandma or grandpa in here to live with us, they'll help us with babysitting. Think about it, friends. Think about it. Think about what you're doing and how it's going to handle. Maybe there's another way of doing it. Maybe you could get an apartment for grandpa and grandma next door. You know, maybe she can have an apartment upstairs. But before she's in that physical house with you, think about the effects of it. It could be good. But it could also be very difficult. 212-209-2900. As I said, we need a lot of needs for books on the psychology of parents, grandparents, and grandparenting. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille.
Hey, Armand.
Hey there.
Great show. Thank you so much.
Sure.
And, you know, what you're saying about the impact of grandparents that are not acknowledged in therapy. I'm not an expert because I've never been in therapy, but... You know, I am the namesake of my grandfather, so, and I'm sure many other people who are listening today are, and that should be something right there.
What's your name?
Sante.
Sante?
Yes.
S-A-N-T-E?
Yes, indeed.
And does that mean saint?
No, actually it comes from the other department. There are apparently two...
Oh, Sante, sure.
No. It's an interesting... Because nobody knew this in my family, but there are two Greek... in Greek hell, there are two rivers. One is the Styx, which is made of blood and is the way in. And the other one is the Xanthos, which is made of mud and is the way out of hell. So that's where my name comes from, in spite of the saintly aura around it. It has got nothing to do with that.
I understand. The river Styx is the one into hell, and the river Sante is the one out of hell.
The Xanthos, yes.
Xanthos, right.
Got,
you and your grandpa have the same name, and what effect did that have on you? Did your mother mix you up with her father?
Well, that's interesting, because I noticed that nobody ever... talked about grandfathers today, mostly about grandmothers, and that, of course, would have been my first impulse, too, until, you know, my intervention sort of developed as I was listening to the program, because at first the thing that really got me was when you started talking about divisive grandmothers who tried to interfere in the education of their grandchildren. And my mother, who died 3 years ago, in spite of being an educator herself, certainly she couldn't help herself. She had a big problem expressing emotions, I guess, or at least that's what somebody told me about Aries, which my mother was. And it sort of resonated with the way I knew my mother. But she basically didn't realize how she was creating divisions between her child's, not me, but my brother is the only one who decided to reproduce, and the other two of us stayed out of the fray. And yeah, that was very interesting. And then I realized that today is the 30th anniversary of her mother, my grandmother, whom I was really close to. And yeah, she died exactly 30 years ago. And she was basically, you know, she's the one who brought me up in my formative years from
what did you call her? What name did you call her, Santi?
Nonna.
Nonna.
Nonna, yeah.
Okay, so listen, I know it sounds small, but again, since I believe in the power of the airwaves, if you could grant Nonna, sounds like she saved your life.
Well, actually, you know, I realized after my mother died, I guess, that she really, really loved me, but you know, there were too many things in the way while she was alive. I couldn't really see that. But in a way, I have a better relationship with her now that she's gone.
Yeah, I know a lot of people say that. Well, I want to thank you very much for calling in, Santi.
Thank you. Great
and
show.
Thank you so much.
Such a great work.
Thank you. 212-209-2900. Santi, you know, that's another thing, being named after your grandparent. Here's the effect it has. It has the effect that if you're a mother, and let's say you're a woman, and you have very special feelings towards your daddy, right? And you love your daddy, but you can't get close to him because mom would get angry at you. So you can't get close to your father, but you love him, and then you have a child, and you name him after your father, right? I mean, and it always sounds like, oh, we're just naming him after grandfather. Well, what happens is your child winds up getting you a lot of the feelings directed towards him that would have been directed towards your father. So it gets really confusing, unconscious stuff. Again, in the book on grandparenting that should be written and the psychology of grandparenting, the naming of the child as it relates to the grandparents is very, very important. You know, I'm going to name you after my dead aunt. Yeah, listen, why don't you name me after your live puppy or something? 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Keith. How are you doing?
Good, Keith. Can you shut off your radio all the way?
Yeah, it's off.
Okay, great.
I'm on cell phone, but I hope that doesn't really interfere.
I could barely hear you, but speak up as loud as you can. I'm with you, Keith.
All right. I love your show. I haven't even thought about my grandparents, who have both passed in a while, and they were the ones that were on my father's side, because my mother's side, I never knew those grandparents before they had passed. But so the ones on my father's side, there was my father's mother, and she remarried. So the grandfather wasn't really my grandfather. He was like a step grandfather, I guess they call that. And but they were both so cool. It was just like they didn't really interfere with anything. They were just cool. Every time I went over there, it was like always like a cool situation. And they would, you know, sometimes they'd take us to the movies. They had one of these great big old radios that had a lot of dials and buttons and stuff like that. And my brother and I, when we were really young, we'd go over there and we'd play spaceship. And
Now, that really sounds like that was a real haven. You know, that sounds like what a grandparent should be. I mean, I love it. You know, if you want to be a grandparent nowadays, be cool. You know, be cool. If your kids are going to come over, let it be a party. You want to celebrate youth, celebrate the youth. You know, let these kids feel really good when they come to your house. So that when your family finally says, I think I've known families where I would talk to people and say, where are you going? And going to my grandmother's house on Sunday. And it was a grandmother's Sunday ritual. You know, every Sunday we're going to grandma's house where all the family went to grandma's house. And the kids hated it. They hated it. They dreaded it, but it's the only choice they had. You know, imagine being like you, Keith, and having grandparents that are always cool. I love it.
Yeah, and so what I'm trying to take over in the same tradition. Right now, I don't have any grandchildren. I have one child, but he's only 13. So, but I'm getting married, and my spouse has a grandchild. And another, it's her grandchild. It's a really weird situation.
Yeah, it surely is.
Her grandchild and her son was like sort of like a ne'er-do-well, is like sort of like out of the family, but his lady who he decided to have the child with is very friendly and very good. So she's in with the family.
It's a weird position for you to be in. But you know, in this case, Keith, what I would suggest the most is you back off as you get absorbed into the role. You know, as opposed to trying to go into the role wearing all kinds of hoots and whistles and trying to say, you know, here I am, I'm the party. You let yourself get absorbed in there, and once you're in there, I could tell just from your voice, Keith, the power of your smile will make all the difference in the world. Because that's what really makes a grandchild love their grandparent. Not only the presents and the toys and everything else, it's the power of the smile. The smile that says, I love you, kitty, and I'm here for you 100%.
My spouse decided to create, she wanted very badly, that's something like you said at the beginning of the show, she wanted very badly to have us names for us as the grandparents. And the name that she created for herself was Madeer, like a combination of like mama and deer, which she had read in a book. So she calls herself Madeer, and then she was asking me, well, what name do you need? I'm like, well, I don't know. I didn't call me Keevan. No, they can't. No, they can't. They got to call you something, you know. So after going over for a while, I, you know, first I said, like, well, why don't they call me Grandmaster? She said, no, I don't like that. That's no good. So I said, okay, how about Elder? And she said, that's perfect. So they call me Elder. And I like that name because I always feel it gives me that sense that I'm always trying to dispense some kind of knowledge to them whenever I'm communicating with them as much as I can, you know. But as you say, also with that smile behind it, you know, not as like dictating or anything like that. But
yeah, well, I know you're really sensitive to it, Keith, because what the elders really do is they don't dispense knowledge. They offer knowledge by a demonstration of the way they function, by the way they talk to each other, by the way they show love, you know. But it's never, you know, a kid takes a walk and you say, all right, now I want you to know that when you're walking, you could see that there are 14 steps to every corner, you know, and stuff like that. Right. It's not that kind of lessons. Mm-hmm. The real lesson is, I trust you, I love you, I want you to grow as big and as tall as you can, and I'll do anything in the world to protect you.
I'm treating it like that. That's the same way I treat my son.
Well, you got the stuff, my elder, I tell you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye, Armand.
Bye-bye, Keith. Well, this is Armand DeMille. This has been very interesting. I think there's going to be a lot more coming out of this grandparents, grandchild. But, you know, I would love to get some grandparents' stories. Maybe this will get me to put together some kind of a I'm going to issue it to somebody and tell them to put a book together on the psychology of grandparenting. I think it's important. I'd love to hear some stories. If you would, you can email me at Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D is my first name, at BrainLink, BrainLink.com. BrainLink.com. Good group of people. And you can get a copy of today's program on WBAI.org or at the website, thepositivemind.com. Nice to be with you, friends. Nice to be with you, friends. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. I'll be back with you Tuesday at 1 p.m. for sure. There's my music.
And you are tuned to listener-supported, commercial-free, community radio, WBAI, WBAI.org, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. From the WBAI newsroom, from our website, that's WBAI.org, Democrats are urging Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman to drop his plans to run as an independent following his defeat by anti-war candidate Ned Lamont in the primaries. On the 61st anniversary of the nuclear bombing of Nagasaki, Code Pink protested outside the New York headquarters of nuclear weapons contractor Bechtel. The Bush administration has drafted legislation to amend the War Crimes Act in an effort to shield appointees, CIA officers, and military personnel from prosecution. Environmentalists will hand out leaflets about the continuing suffering of Ground Zero workers at tonight's opening of the World Trade Center film. And please tune in at 6 p.m. for in-depth coverage of these and other stories from the WBAI listener-supported news. Coming up next at 2 p.m. will be Perspective. Please stay tuned.